How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Praise God. Well, as most of you know, I'm from Los Angeles, California, and my cell phone, is still in California time. So today, my cell phone, my alarm went off, and it said like 7:30 or something, and then I'm like, oh no. And I woke up my wife, I'm like, it's 8:30. And then she's like, no, it's not. My Kindle says it's 7:30. I'm like, no, but my phone says it's 7:30, so it must be 8:30. And then she's like, no. And then she went out and checked the clock on the oven, and that's at 7:32. I'm like, no, they're all wrong. It's 8:30 right now. But I guess it's... Daylight saving time doesn't really affect Arizona, but it affected me a lot today. Anyways, we're going to talk a little bit about prayer today. Last week, we looked at prayer from the Apostle Paul's perspective. Paul, writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy, talked about how important it was for the young pastor, Pastor Timothy, at the young church to establish that first and foremost, an urgency of prayer. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and on. It says, I urge you, Timothy, first of all, that you pray. He says it four times in different ways. He says that you lift up requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving. Today, I want to look at prayer from the Apostle James's perspective. Most scholars believe this is James the Just, Jesus' brother. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to chapter 5, James chapter 5. This letter is a very practical letter. And it's a short letter. I encourage all of you who wants to read the Bible and don't know exactly where to read. Read James. It's a very practical Bible. Practical part of scripture. Practical letter. James 5, verses 13 through 18. Let me read. It says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make them well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Yeah, God, we just thank you so much for the privilege of coming together to worship you today. Father, we ask for your presence to come. Lord, we ask that you would just permeate this place with your presence. We ask for heaven's atmosphere here, Lord. Jesus, we ask that we can encounter you today through your word, through prayer, through our neighbors, the people next to us. We pray, Father, that you would just encounter us Lord, we pray for your encounter, Lord. However you want it. However you choose to, Lord. We thank you so much for the reading of your word. And Father, we pray your word will not return void. We thank you so much. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is broken down simply when to pray, how to pray, and why pray. Now, when to pray, it's simple. The apostle James says, is anyone among you in trouble? And that's a very general word, that word trouble. It's meant to encompass just a whole wide range of situations. Is anyone among you in trouble? Whether it's relationally, in trouble, if you're having problems with your parents, or you're having problems with your children, you're having problems with people at work. You live long enough and trouble will find you. You know, my wife and I, we've had a lot of trouble with our house these days. When we moved in March 1st, it was flooded. And now that's all dried up. And now our washer, our dryer isn't working. And so we called a maintenance person. They came in and they said, oh, it's because your dryer isn't attached to the gas line. And so they attached it. This morning when I woke up, I went into the dryer where our washer and dryer is, and it smelled like gas. And so we've been having a lot of trouble at home these days. My first response is, I need to call that maintenance man again. Right? That's understandable, isn't it? James said, is anyone in trouble? What should we do? We should pray. Amen? Like I said, I grew up in Los Angeles, Granada Hills. Most of you don't know Granada Hills. It's right next to Northridge. And I don't know if any of you know Northridge, but Northridge, in 1994, I believe, there was a 6.0 earthquake in Northridge. I lived through it. I was not Christian. But my friend who was Christian, he told me, he was like, you know, when the earthquake came, I think he just froze up. But in the next room, he could hear his parents. And his parents were yelling Jesus' name. Isn't that amazing? Trouble came, and the first instinct they had was to call on Jesus' name. Is anyone among you in trouble? I believe if we don't practice praying, we're in trouble. That when sudden disaster comes, it will be hard for us to call upon Jesus' name. And disaster will come suddenly. It will come like a thief in the night. If you're not practicing praying when you're in trouble, what will you call upon when trouble comes? Is anyone among you in trouble? Pray. It says, is anyone happy? Sing songs of praise. That's another form of prayer. Just thanking God, praising God, worshiping God. Is anyone among you happy? I had mentioned this last week. I'll mention it again. I'm in the market for a new car or a used car. Something to get me around. Under $15,000. And I applied for a loan through my conference. And they gave me really great rates. I mean, it's not 0.0%, but it's lower than what I would get anywhere else in the marketplace. And I'm praising God. I'm not going to tell you how low it is because you guys might get jealous and envious, but it's very low and I'm praising God. Amen? When you're happy, do you praise God or do you forget God? It's so important that when things happen, good things like getting a great loan percentage or finding a great wife, you know, that you don't just pat yourself on the back and say, I did a good job. But say, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Is anyone among you in trouble? Is anyone happy? And third of all, when to pray, is anyone among you sick? What do you do when you're sick? Is the first thing you do calling somebody from church? Hey, Evelyn, I'm sick. Can you pray for me? Is that the first thing that comes to mind? Or is the first thing that comes to mind, I need Tylenol. I need to leave. I need to call my doctor. James here says this, is anyone among you sick? If they are, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Prior to coming here to Tucson, my wife and I, we were pastoring a church called West Adams Christian Church. Great church. It's about this size, but a little bit older. The youngest member was like 65. The oldest member was like 94. They're very old. One of the members, her name was Sachi. And I won't say her last name, but she always gets mad when I mention this. But Sachi, she went to school with Jackie Robinson. I don't know if you know Jackie Robinson, but he's the one that broke the color barrier in baseball, but just, I believe, in sports general. Anyway, so that just tells you how old she is. Sachi, beautiful lady. She looks like she's in her 60s, but she's 94. When she took, anyways. Well, she had a... Yeah, so her vocal cords were deteriorating. And she had to go through numerous surgeries. My wife and I, we prayed for her. And, you know, we prayed for her and we just left it at that. Towards the end of our time at West Adams, Sachi, she comes up to me and she says, I have to share this with you. I went to the doctors to get checked up the other day. And apparently, her vocal cords started regenerating. And the doctor told Sachi, you know, I've never, it's very rare that I seen this. I've only seen this a handful of times. And in those times when I've seen it, it's with younger patients. And so Sachi was just really just glowing. She was so just filled with faith and, praise God, amen. I mean, it wasn't because my wife or I prayed for her. I wish I could have been like, in Jesus' name be healed, and she'd fall over, and she, next day she's healed. But it wasn't like that. But we did pray for her. And she did get healed. And glory goes to God. It says in James, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church and pray. Now, I'm not here to argue whether healing is for today or not. I'm just saying this is what the book says. And as Christians, we should do what the book says. Amen? Alright, I'm at a good church. I'm at the right church. I was asking God today, am I at the right church? But I guess I am. When to pray? We should pray when we're in trouble. We should pray when we're happy. We should pray when we're sick. Now, how to pray? It goes into how to pray. First of all, we pray in Jesus' name. We pray under the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, it's important that we understand what that means. It's not a formula. It's not like you could pray and just add in Jesus' name. And then it'll work. It's not like a magic formula or anything. But it's under the authority of Jesus we come and we pray. For example, this is a common example to use, but a police officer, he doesn't have the physical power to stop a car, right? It's not like he stops cars with his strength. But he stops cars all the time. And it's because of the authority given to him by whichever state he's working under. He stops cars because he has a badge. And I believe this is what the Bible tells when it says, pray in Jesus' name, is we have authority. We don't have the actual power to heal sickness. We don't have the actual power to bring people out of trouble. But we have the authority in Jesus, who died for us and who sits at the right hand of God, who continually intercedes for us. is through Jesus, His name, His authority, that gives us power to pray. I encourage you to try it. Whether it's your washing machine, your car, or even your physical body. I've been praying for about 7 years, 8 years now for my knees, in Jesus' name. And, you know, it's getting stronger. Praise God. I feel like I'm not able to play basketball like I was 7 years ago. This might have something to do with it. But my knees are getting stronger. I encourage you, when you pray, pray in Jesus' name. Pray through His name. Verse 15 says, "And the prayer offered in faith will make them well." First, we pray in Jesus' name. Second, we pray in faith. James, if you read the book of James, it says earlier, "Faith without action is dead." And if you notice that when it says, "If is anyone among you sick, call the elders," commentators noted that's an act of faith. Calling somebody to pray for you is an act of faith. And God is so attracted to faith. If you notice in the gospel, whenever Jesus is surprised, it's usually because of faith. It's like, wow, what great faith that person has. Or when he's upset, it's because of faith. It's like, wow, what lack of faith they have. And it says in his hometown, he couldn't do many miracles because of their lack of faith. There's something about faith that attracts God as well as repels God, repulses Him. Are you known among your families and friends as a person of faith? They may know you're Christian, but do they know that you're a person of faith? Would they say, "Ben, oh yeah, that guy, he's a man of faith"? The church should be known for three things, at least three things. Extraordinary love, extraordinary hope, and great faith. And a lot of times, our faith and hope determines how high we can love. Are you known as a people of faith? I hope so. And if not, I hope you become known as a person of great faith. It takes faith to pray these prayers. We pray, how do we pray in Jesus' name? We pray in faith, and finally it says this in verse 16. "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." It says, confess your sins to each other. I don't know how exactly it works, but it seems to work. A lot of times, I don't want to say a lot of times, there are times when sickness and unforgiveness are kind of intermingled. Of course, Jesus taught, when he taught the disciples how to pray, if you forgive those who have sinned against you, then my Heavenly Father will forgive you. Again, I don't know exactly how that works, but that's what Jesus teaches. And here it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And so there's a connection here with unforgiveness and sickness, or confession and healing. There was this one time I was at this healing meeting kind of thing. And again, it's not about me, but there was a person that got a word of knowledge. I don't know if you're familiar with that term, but it's God giving somebody an impression and they just say it, and people with that condition, they raise their hand. So the person said, "I feel like there are people here with that has a back injury." And so a couple of people raised their hands. And the way it works is we just go and we pray for the people who raise their hand. So I see this lady, she raised her hand, so I went and I prayed for her, and I laid my hands on her. And in my imagination, I'm like, oh, she must have, you know, got rear-ended, because that's probably why she has a bad back. And so, but I just asked her, I said, so what happened? And she's like, I got rear-ended. And I'm like, oh, I should have just said it. I should have said, the Lord showed me you got rear-ended. That would have increased her faith. Anyways, she said, I got rear-ended. I'm like, oh, okay, let me pray. And then I remember a teaching saying, you know, we should always try to confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. And, you know, it sometimes unforgiveness blocks healing. So I asked the lady, I said, did you forgive the person that rear-ended you? And she said, oh yeah, I forgive her. And so I'm like, okay, that's fine. And so I prayed for her, and then I went away. Couple minutes later, she came up to me all excited, and she said, you know, I forgave that person that rear-ended me, and my back got better. I was like, okay, that's cool. Yeah, I acted like that happens all the time. But inside, I was like jumping for joy. But I'm like, okay, yeah, that's cool. And then, but praise God, amen, that she just lifted up this person to God. You know, I didn't think she had anything against the person that rear-ended her. You know, it's usually not intentional. But it is intentional to say, I forgive that person that rear-ended me. And when she did that, I believe it released the grace that she was healed. Now, I don't know if any of you have any kind of ailments, sickness, something that's just been going on for a while. But I encourage you that if there is something, and if it happened because of somebody else, that you take that step and say, Father, I forgive the person for doing what I don't know. I forgive the person for hitting me and I fell and I twisted my ankle. I forgive that person. I know it was an accident. He didn't do it on purpose. But Lord, I lift it up to you. I forgive that person. I encourage you, if there's anything in your life where there's any kind of sickness, suffering, physical suffering that was caused by somebody else, that you intentionally forgive that person and see what God does for you. And finally, why do we pray? I think it's obvious why we pray. Verse 16 again, it says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I believe we should be expecting healing. We should be expecting powerful and effective things to happen when we pray. Amen? Like if you were to pray and 100% of the time your prayers were answered, wouldn't you pray more? Like say, every time you prayed for a blind person, that blind person was able to see. Or every time you prayed for that person in the wheelchair, the person popped out of the wheelchair. Wouldn't you want to pray? Wouldn't you pray more? Well, because of Jesus dying on the cross and going to sit at the right hand of Father, it says the Holy Spirit now dwells in us. And so the potential of that happening is real. It's not happening, right? And that's why sometimes we get discouraged. Oh, you know, I've tried it once, it didn't work, I don't want to do it again. But a lot of times, even such things as prayer, it takes practice. It takes perseverance. In fact, it says here in verse 17, Elijah was a human being even as we are. And if you know anything about the Old Testament, you know Elijah was not just some ordinary human being. He did some extraordinary things. But it says Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. That word earnestly, it means he prayed, he prayed, he prayed, he prayed. He prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. If you look at the story, he actually prays 7 times before it starts, before there was a little cloud. A lot of times, we just pray once and say, okay, it's in God's sovereign hands. It's up to God's sovereignty whether you are healed or not. But the scriptures says clearly that we ought to pray and pray earnestly. Not just once, and leave it up to God. So Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain. And he prayed again, and it rained, and the earth produced harvest. Why should we pray? Because our prayers, it says the righteous person's prayers, are powerful and effective. They are not for our entertainment. They are not to prove whether we're holy or not. They're powerful and effective because God says, we pray this every week. I've noticed that. But in the Lord's Prayer, God says what? This is how you should pray. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. His will not be done here on earth as it is in heaven through our own strength. Amen? It's not going to be done because we have good, because of our strategies or because of our talents. It's not going to happen through us. It'll happen through prayer though. That's why we must pray. That's why prayer isn't just something we do, attach it to church. I think prayer should permeate the church. I want people to come and say, oh, that church at JCCT, that's a praying church. If you need prayers answered, go to JCCT. Their preacher might not be good, but their prayers are powerful. That's fine with me. That's what I want to be known as. A church that prays powerful and effective prayers. Amen. I was going to do some demonstration, but I don't know. Is the faith level in here high enough? I don't know. Is anyone sick? Is anyone in trouble? We should pray for you if you are. Should we just... Well, let's do this. Let's just go into a time of prayer, just silent meditation, and just let's wait upon the Lord and see what He does. And if the Lord gives us an impression that we should go one way, we'll go with it. If not, we'll go into a time of communion. Sound good? All right. Well, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would come. Without the Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord, we just pray that you would come. Well, this is an easy one, and I say it's easy because I already know that this is happening. So, does anyone, my wife included, have a pain in their back, sort of this side of their back. I can't reach it exactly.
Like in between your shoulder blades.
Is that just my wife? Anyone else have it? If you do, just raise your hand. If it's just my wife, we're just going to pray for my wife because she needs. I've been praying for her and my prayers haven't been working, so maybe someone in here can pray for her. Just my wife? Okay, let's pray for my wife then. Yeah, can those people around my wife just lay their hands on her? Naomi-san, can just pray for her back. I don't know what it is. Maybe she needs to forgive me. That's it, my wife? No one else? Father, we thank you so much for your grace, and we do pray, Lord, that you would heal my wife's back. Whatever it is, Lord, we just pray that you would loosen the knots in her back. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name we just pray that you would heal my wife's back. We command the just alignment with her spinal cord. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone else that just want prayer for it? Whether they're in trouble, and you don't have to share your story, but just in general, there's just overwhelming stress in your life or unrest. If there's anyone there, we would like to pray for you. Again, we're doing this because what does James say? What does James say? He says, faith without action is dead. He says, do you believe there's one God? Good. The devil, the demons believe in it and they shudder too. Basically, you have correct theology, that's great. And we need to have correct theology. But if that's all you have and there's no action behind the faith and theology you have, that's a dead faith. Again, I hope and pray that we will not be a dead church that says all the right things, know all the right answers, but actually steps out and tries it, even if we stumble and fall. Eventually we'll get it right, amen? It's not the Lord compassionate and graceful? And anyone else need prayer? I need prayer, maybe. Well, if you need prayer, you have Min's number. Go ahead and call him, call Evelyn. You have my number, call me. I would love to pray for you. Again, let's be a church that does what the book says. If you're in trouble, if you're sick, call the elders. Let them anoint you with oil. We didn't bring oil, but in the name, what's important is it's in the name of Jesus through faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time. Yes, Lord. We pray, Father, that our faith would increase. We pray, Jesus, that you would increase, Lord, our faith, and that we would put our faith in you, Jesus. Lord, you said, just a mustard seed sized faith can move mountains. And so we pray, Father, that we would have our faith in the right place. We thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.